Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and back in the studio, I have Hazel and Zach. Welcome back, panelists.
Thank you.
Hey, Brandon.
Well, what have we been talking about over the past 2 days? Hazel, what did we talk about on day one of Newsworthy
Class? Let's see. Oh, I know. We talked about computers, and especially malware, computer viruses, how to protect yourself against ransomware.
Yeah, it's a very relative topic. Very practical tips there.
Right.
A very relevant topic, I should say. And we learned a lot there. What do we learn on the next day?
Yeah, so yesterday we had discussed coral reefs and kind of the predicament that they're in right now, both that the situation with coral bleaching is getting better, but it's not quite out of the woods yet, that there are still some issues, maybe with climate change and other things that are affecting coral.
You just used a phrase that we learned yesterday, out of the woods. What does that mean?
To be kind of in the clear, that things are resolved or better, but it seems like there's still some danger lurking by.
Wow, you're just full of the vocab phrases today, because in the clear was also one. Of
right.
course, that means that everything is okay. Maybe you have cancer, and then you go back to the doctor, and they say, you're in the clear. You no longer have cancer. And
right.
So,
maybe you get in trouble at work, something you forgot something important, and then your boss says, you're in the clear. We've taken care of it. No more problems for
That's
you.
That's a great phrase to hear.
It is.
Especially if you have something like cancer or something serious that is going on. So those are the two topics from the past 2 days. Today we are moving to the health world. What are we talking about today, Hazel?
We're talking about a disease called celiac disease, and I think people have a lot of questions about this disease. I know I do. It's a disease I've heard about a lot recently, but I really don't know much about it.
All right. We see that it is an intestinal disorder characterized by a sensitivity to gluten, which we are going to talk about gluten in our article today, and it results in trouble digesting food because there's this sensitivity to gluten. And gluten is a dietary protein in wheat, barley, and rye. And so think about all of the bread that you eat, right? And, you know, that can cause problems for people who are very sensitive to gluten.
Right. And if you think about it, there's so many other foods that have wheat or just the kind of that would contain gluten. And so it's definitely a hot topic right now in a lot of social circles.
Right. And you see, you know, lots of, you go to the grocery store, at least in North America, and you see a lot of things that say gluten-free. Or, you know, maybe you go to a restaurant and something is gluten-free. And sometimes it almost becomes, you know, like a fad. Maybe people, they're not allergic to gluten. They have no problem with it, but they still want something that's gluten-free because that's popular and it sounds healthy, I guess.
It does sound healthy, doesn't it? Gluten-free. and you do see that a lot. You're right.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so that is our topic today. If you have your magazine, go ahead and open it up to page 24, and we'll have our first reading for today.
Researchers identify biological pathway to celiac disease. For the first time, a biological pathway leading to celiac disease has been described, raising potential for preventive measures, including a vaccine. A study published online in Science describes how an untimely infection of an otherwise innocuous virus can cause an immune response to gluten, leading to the autoimmune condition that affects 3.2 million Americans. The study identified a real virus strain that triggers an immune response, which in turn renders the person intolerant of gluten, a dietary protein in wheat, barley, and rye. The only current treatment for celiac disease is avoidance of foods containing gluten.
Okay, so a key point of this article is here in our title that the researchers, they've identified a biological pathway to celiac disease. And this has never happened before.
Right. So kind of researchers are identifying something that's new and unprecedented. And it's a big deal because for so many people that are affected, this is 3.2 million Americans just, for, you know, according to, if you're looking at the statistics in America, are being affected.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they found this pathway. Now, biological pathway, you have to stop and think about that. So we know kind of what a pathway is. You know, it leads to something. So, if you're doing research on a disease, you want to find out what causes that, right? And so here we're looking at, I guess, this pathway to that. But we also have a definition there that is more technical in our specialized terms, a chain of actions among molecules that leads to a change in a cell. And so here, though, when we talk about in the article, Hazel, it looks like that they are being led somewhere, right? They're finding there's a new revelation here.
It sounds like it. When I read that sentence, the title, it seems like it should be like a pathway to understanding or researching more about it, finding out the secrets of it.
Yeah, which is, of course, what researchers do. They're trying to find out the reasons why we have certain diseases and trying to find cures for that.
Right, cures, as well as even taking preventive measures, and they've come up with a vaccine you could take to kind of make sure that you don't have this disease later in life.
So there's the potential for this. That's their hopes, and that's good news for those who suffer from this disease. So there was a study published online in Science, and it describes what, Hazel?
Well, how ultimately infection of an otherwise innocuous virus can cause an immune response to gluten. So sometimes there's a virus that's innocuous, and I believe that means it doesn't really hurt anything.
Right,
it's not dangerous. It's harmless, right. So usually this infection, it would be harmless, but this virus has a response to gluten, which makes it harmful or uncomfortable or prevents digestion, perhaps.
Right, and we have this description here, autoimmune condition. And so, you know, if you have an autoimmune condition, autoimmune is relating to conditions and diseases in which your cells are actually attacked by your immune system. And so that's why it's called autoimmune condition. And so, as Zach mentioned earlier, 3.2 million Americans suffer from this. And so it affects a lot of people. And so hopefully this will be good news for them. And next we learned about the rhinovirus.
Right. So with kind of going on with the rhinovirus, is there's a type of, it says RNA virus. You can kind of think of that as like an acid, I think, that it will actually attack the respiratory system. So breathing and your lungs specifically, as well as your gastrointestinal system, which is, I think it has to do with your intestines and like kind of near your stomach.
Right. So it's a strain. It's a rhinovirus strain, or a strain just means type. And so the study identified this strain that triggers an immune response. We often see that word trigger. It means to cause something. The strain causes an immune response, which that in turn renders the person intolerant of gluten. That word render just simply means
it causes it.
Right.
That's
causes
what happens.
Something.
Okay.
And so, you know, we kind of have two words here that basically mean the same thing.
Triggers.
Renders, causes the person to become intolerant. You know, they cannot handle gluten.
So the immune system in the body, which usually gets rid of diseases and things that will hurt us, thinks that the gluten is hurting the body, and so it attacks.
Right. Yeah.
And it does more harm than good.
Right. And what is gluten, if you're wondering? We have an explanation here. It's a dietary protein in wheat, barley, and rye. And, of course, wheat. We eat wheat a lot.
Sure.
Right?
Bread. So, a lot of bread.
Yeah, I love bread. Of course, there are a lot of gluten-free foods that you can eat now. But anyway, this can be really hard to deal with. And we learned that the only current treatment for celiac disease is avoidance of foods containing gluten.
And I could imagine for someone who finds this disease later in their life, this could be a big life change.
Mm.
They're shopping, they're cooking, ordering at a restaurant, kind of having to alter their whole diet. Mm-hmm. It could be a big life change.
Yes, it would be for me because, like I said, I love to eat bread. And, you know, wheat, barley, rye, that covers a lot of food that you eat. And so it is a big, it would be a big life change, but hopefully this will lead to, mm-hmm. you know, some a prevention or a vaccine, as we already mentioned. Well, we have more to learn, so let's go ahead and we'll have our second reading for today.
One leader of the study, Terrence Dermody, chairman of the Department of Pediatrics at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine, said it would make sense that introduction of gluten-based foods at a time when the infant or young child develops an asymptomatic infection of the reovirus could explain the problem. Slow digestion of gluten can engage the immune system even in those without celiac disease. But for those with celiac disease, the inflammatory response can lead to destruction of the lining of the small intestine, potentially leading to death.
Okay, so we hear from one of the leaders of the study, Terrence Dermody, and he's the chairman of the Department of Pediatrics. And, of course, pediatrics is dealing with children. And, you know, when they go to the doctor as a child, you oftentimes go to see a pediatrician. So that's what that's about. And he's at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. And he said it would make sense that introduction of gluten-based foods at a time when the infant or young child develops an asymptomatic infection of the reovirus could explain the problem. So that's kind of wordy there. So let's break it down. So basically he, of course, he's a pediatrician. So Zach, he's talking about when you are a kid.
Right. So when you're an infant or a young child might develop a kind of an infection with no symptoms. There's no evidence or nothing indicating that they're having an allergic reaction or that there's even a virus or that there's a problem. And so it's often might go undetected.
So it's asymptomatic. Asymptomatic simply meaning you have no symptoms of a disease.
Right.
The disease is there, but you don't have symptoms of it.
And then apparently when gluten foods are introduced at that time, that perhaps might trigger the onset of the disease or worsen it, perhaps?
Maybe, right. So next, we also see that slow digestion of gluten can engage the immune system. And so this can happen whether or not you have celiac disease. If, you know, if you digest gluten slowly, it can engage the immune system. And it goes on to tell us, but for those with celiac disease, it's more of a problem.
Right. It looks like it's a lot more serious, that something is becoming inflamed. It just means kind of infected. And the response can actually lead to destruction of the lining of the small intestines.
Uh-huh. And we have this word here, inflammatory. You can have an inflammatory response if you have celiac disease, which just means if something is inflamed, it's painful, causes pain in the body, and there also might be swelling involved. Mm-hmm. So, of course,
right.
This is going on internally. So this sounds like it could be very serious. I didn't know it could potentially lead to death.
No, I didn't either. But I suppose if you continually have an inflammation of the intestine, it could cause perhaps bleeding. I'm not sure, but you wouldn't want to eat. You wouldn't eat as much as you should. So I didn't know it could lead to death either. But
digestive problems can be, you know, just so troublesome.
Right.
Because, you know, I've had that before, not this, but I've had other issues. And when you don't digest things well, it just causes all sorts of pain and problems. And so until you, I think, experience that, you really don't understand the seriousness of it. But I'm sure, as Hazel said, if this goes on and on, then it could, you know, be potentially very serious.
Right. And I feel like if you've not had too much interaction or, you know, heard too much about the celiac disease before. I don't know, I feel like a little more sympathetic mm-hmm. towards people who could suffer from this. I mean, it just sounds really painful if in fact the disease is causing, you know, lining in your stomach or in your intestine to actually be, you know, to destroy and to break down. Wow, that could be a, you know, a huge problem.
Right. So, you know, again, we hope that there is, you know, good news in all of this by finding this biological pathway, and hopefully they will come up with a vaccine and so forth, and so people can find relief in that. Well, next we're going to hear more from the leader of the study. Let's find out what he has. This is our last reading for today.
We are now in a position to precisely define the viral factors responsible for the induction of the autoimmune response, said Dermody. When a virus that's not terribly pathogenic attacks at the same time that a new food is introduced, the immune system is tricked. It is thinking that the food is a foreign invader and elicits an immune response to it. So it's all about timing. Only 17% of those believed to have celiac disease have been diagnosed. Celiac disease long has posed a mystery to medical researchers about how the body becomes allergic to the protein found in wheat, one of the world's most abundantly consumed foods used to make bread, cereals, desserts, and beer.
Okay, so what does the leader say, Zach? He talks about the induction of the autoimmune response. Can you tell us more about that word, induction?
Sure. Basically, induction, or to induce, is the thing that's causing an event or a process to happen. It's inducted.
Okay, so now the leader is saying that, hey, now we may be able to define the viral factors responsible for what causes this autoimmune response. And so that's, you know, somewhere to start, Hazel. They can dig into that more and continue to research this.
So it sounds like up until now it's been a little bit of a mystery of what this is, what causes it. And so now they're in a position to define the factors involved, the factors that are responsible. So there's so much more to learn. So when they're identifying this pathway to the disease, they're at a good starting point. They know more than they did before, but it sounds like they still have a long way to go.
All right. And then the leader of the study, Dermody, goes on and he says, you know, when a virus that's not terribly pathogenic attacks, and pathogenic just means it's able to cause a disease, when that happens, when a pathogenic virus attacks at the same time that a new food is introduced, something goes wrong. The immune system is tricked.
Okay. Would it be tricked by other new foods as well? Or why is gluten different than other new foods? Or is it? And perhaps those are some of the questions that they're asking.
Yeah. But it seems like, you know, we hear a lot about gluten, and they have this whole gluten-free foods and all of that, so it must be something special about that that causes problems. And I'm sure there are other foods that, but it seems like especially this one causes problems for a lot of people.
Yeah, somehow it's just recognizing it as a foreign invader, so something that shouldn't be there that has come in to kind of, invade or to kind of an attack.
It thinks that it's a foreign invader, right? So it's confused.
Right.
Right. Your immune system gets all confused. We know what it's like to be confused. I guess our immune systems can also
Yeah, we do.
That's interesting.
And then it says it's all about timing. So we see that these things are happening at the same time. There's some kind of a, perhaps, virus that's not that dangerous. But then when a new food is introduced, the immune system begins to attack.
And then, you know, it elicits an immune response to it. To elicit something is to produce something.
Mm-hmm.
You elicit a reaction to something, right? You produce a reaction. Okay? So it's all about timing. Many things in life are all about timing, right? It's important.
That's true.
Okay, so 17% of those believed to have celiac disease have been diagnosed. Okay, not very many have been diagnosed. So that could also play into, it could be a problem, I guess.
Yeah, I think sometimes when you see a list of symptoms of a disease, you might think, oh, maybe I have that. Maybe I should stay away from gluten, or maybe I should, maybe I have something else and I need to avoid it. And so a lot of people believe they have it, mm-hmm. But it's difficult to diagnose, or people aren't going to the doctor. They just believe they have it. And so they're trying to just stay away from gluten. Just in case they do.
Sometimes we need to stay away from WebMD, because you go out there, you see the symptoms, you think, I'm dying. those are helpful, but you can overanalyze some of that. And so it's always good to see a doctor.
It's so serious that people think they need to go to a doctor. Mm. Maybe they have some of the symptoms, but they don't think it's
quite
dangerous, or they don't know what to check for.
Right. Yeah.
And we also recall that for some infants or for younger children, they're developing this asymptomatical kind of infection, mm-hmm. where it just means it's hard to identify. There's not a lot of symptoms even showing up in the first place.
That's right. And celiac disease long has posed or caused a mystery to medical researchers about how the body becomes allergic to the protein found in wheat. That word posed there just means to cause something. And it's been a mystery to them. So it's been difficult, but they are hopefully, figuring some of this out. And the medical researchers are trying to figure out how the body becomes allergic to the protein found in wheat. It's long been a mystery. And it says one of the world's most abundantly consumed foods. So we've talked about that gluten is, a lot of people eat wheat, and gluten is in that. And so this poses a big problem. It poses a mystery. And it's difficult. And we get a list of things that, contains wheat, of course, bread, cereals, desserts, and beer. So a lot of things contain that. I love cereal, by the way.
Me too.
I know in Asia it's not as popular, but I could eat cereal any time of day almost.
Me too.
I've tried to cut back. It's hard.
It is.
So anyway, that's kind of the issue here with celiac disease, the biological pathway, and the research that has been going on. And so if you know someone, who suffers from this, maybe you can point this article out, and hopefully it could be a breath of fresh air for them, something that they could read and maybe, find more insight into what's going on.
I think there's other food allergies that people that are a mystery, and we need to find out more about. I have a nephew that's very allergic to peanuts, and that's an allergy that is life-threatening. They can eat peanut butter or anything related to peanuts, and it can be very dangerous. So there's other allergies besides celiac disease that are a mystery, and so it's good to talk about these things. This article isn't an easy one.
It's not.
Yeah, speaking of mystery, a mystery to medical researchers, listeners, if you're also having trouble with any of these words or even just understanding the content, hey, you're not alone. Even the medical researchers are being stumped with a lot of this.
Right, and it's, anytime if you're not, scientifically minded or medically minded, these words, you want to use some of these words in everyday language. So a lot of these specialized terms are there for you to hopefully understand the article better, but it's not something you need to memorize, which you've probably figured that out by now. But I think sometimes when you read something like this, you get the general idea. They're talking about this disease, and they've done some research, some things are getting better, and you kind of get some information about it, but you don't have to necessarily dissect every part of it unless you're especially interested in it. Maybe you are in the medical field and you want to or need to know some of these terms more. Of course, it would be very different for you.
So don't get discouraged if this article has been a difficult one. It's been a little bit difficult for us too, I believe, teaching it.
Yes. So. I want to go back to something Hazel mentioned earlier, just widen the scope a bit. There are many allergies out there, and sometimes you develop them later in life. When I was back in the U.S. last year, the year before, I found out that I was allergic to some sort of spice. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I know I can't eat hot wings anymore. Buffalo hot wings.
Oh, no.
Well, too bad, Brandon.
So that's kind of a bummer. But thank God it nothing has really triggered it here in Asia. And so that's good. But sometimes you just develop these allergies later in life. You know? And I'm also allergic to cats, but that's a different kind of thing.
Hey, Brandon, with the wings, did you have kind of symptoms that gave it away that helped you identify this?
Yeah. The first time I had some sort of reaction, I ate a pizza, and it was a different kind of pizza place. It was very fresh ingredients, and I don't know, some sort of spice or something triggered that. And then again, when I had hot wings, I just felt very strange inside, and mm-hmm. I don't really know, I can't remember all the symptoms or exactly how to describe it. Oh, the first time it happened, I felt like maybe my throat was starting to close up, but I wasn't sure if it was really doing that or if it was just anxiety over the fact that I was having so I don't know, but there was definitely something going on that wasn't right, and it was weird because I've never been allergic to anything that I've
right.
eaten, so.
And since coming here, I found out I'm allergic to avocado.
Oh.
Yeah, so I can't, I avoid that. I get very severe stomach ache if I
okay.
eat. Yeah.
There you go, and that's something that's good for you.
So it's important to be paying attention to our symptoms and keeping an eye on what we can or cannot eat.
Right. And that's all the time we have. And we thank you for joining us over the past 3 days for our Newsworthy Clips article. And join us next time here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, this is Brandon.
Hazel.
And Zach.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.